Hi everyone, I'm Dave Chapman, and you're listening to The Science of Social Media, a podcast by Buffer. Welcome to episode 200. Wow, that is a fun milestone. Thanks to each and every one of you for tuning into the show and joining us on this journey. Today we have a super fun episode lined up. It's all about Twitter, and specifically how you can build an audience on the platform. Twitter has over 321 million monthly active users, and it's the perfect platform to build an audience, either for your personal brand or on behalf of your company. But how do you get people to actually follow your account and engage with the content you share? That's what we'll be focused on today. Here's Dominic Kent with this episode's question.
Hi, I'm Dominic and I run content marketing at Mio. My question to Buffer is, outside of sharing high-quality content, the eye-rolling, following loads of people tactic, and engaging in conversations from your brand account, what are hot 2020 best practices for growing a Twitter audience?
To answer Dominic's question, I spoke with Matthew Kobach. Matthew is the Director of Content Marketing at e-commerce startup Fast, one of the most exciting brands out there right now. Fast only launched a few months back and already has over 20,000 followers on Twitter. Before joining Fast, Matthew was the digital and social manager at the New York Stock Exchange, where he collaborated with the world's most well-known brands to celebrate IPOs and highlight new product launches in creative ways. Back in 2007, he also completed a PhD on predicting how people use social media. So when it comes to building audiences and knowing what works on social, he's one of the best there is. Matthew, I have a bunch of questions, and if you're all set, we can dive right in.
I'm set.
Perfect. To start, I'd love to rewind back to the spring of 2019. You set yourself a challenge to build a community from scratch. So you had a couple of thousand followers on your personal Twitter account at that time, and now, just over a year later, you have 80,000. Could you share how you approached building that audience, and you know, what did the first steps look like?
So I had had a Twitter account for a few years up until that point. But I never really used it strategically, or I should say maybe deliberately. I tweeted brands and, you know, maybe post something that I, you know, join a conversation if I was watching something on television. But in, the spring of 2019, I decided, let's be deliberate about this. Let's just see what happens. Let me take everything I've learned about building brands on social media and apply it to my personal account. And one of the kind of two of the fundamental keys that have worked for me doing it for brands has been consistency and has been adding value. Consistency was easy. It was just, I'm going to post twice a day, every day for 6 months. That was the pact I made to myself. And then adding value was a little harder. You know, some people probably call this finding your voice, figuring out your niche, whatever it might be. But I had, I was experimenting a little bit in April. And then in May, I'd kind of landed on what I wanted to do. And really, it was just observations about marketing, content creativity, and often kind of under the bigger umbrella of observations about life. And when I started doing that, that's when I really found my voice and I was able to post stuff that really seemed to resonate with other people. And I think a lot of what I did was I kind of tapped into these feelings or these thoughts that people who were doing social media marketing work like I was, that they were feeling. You know, we're a relatively young industry, so there was a lot of misinformation out there. There was a lot of people who perhaps had built themselves up but didn't necessarily have the credibility and didn't also then have, you know, weren't sharing necessarily stuff that was working. And so I was this kind of intersection of sharing stuff that people knew to be true, had the credibility to back it up and had the experience and was currently doing it. Like I did this while I was still working. So I, you know, kind of had to put my money where my mouth was at any given point, because if I was going to be posting something, it was an observation I made while I was working or that I could apply to any position or any campaigns I was currently working on.
Would you say that in the early steps, the consistency is something that you can just do, but in terms of finding your voice, was there a point where you thought that, this is what people are responding to, this is what is working?
Yeah, what was funny is the key, what was successful for me was there the whole time. It's just I was too, I just didn't see it. And for me, what it was is I've always had this interest in psychology, in living a happy life, human behavior, philosophy, all that stuff. And once I started using my personal interests and kind of mixing them with social media and marketing and creativity, that's when it really like took off and became really easy. Because now, like I remember I tested some other ideas and they didn't come as natural and they did okay. But once I got this, developed this voice that was really just my voice. It wasn't even like I developed it. It was almost like I just found it and it was hiding in plain sight the whole time. Once I combined these interests, that's when it really took off. That's when it got a lot easier. You know, like I was reading books or listening to podcasts or, watching documentaries that as a hobby, like this is just what I was interested in. And once I realized that if I take the elements from those and apply them to my own personal Twitter, that's how I all of a sudden have my unique voice and can add value and can post stuff that really resonates with people.
That's awesome. When you say about talking about finding your own voice and it was there all along, you're not trying to be someone else or try and do something else. Is there another way that you would describe that kind of is a fresh take on what we've been hearing for so long?
The best way to maybe describe it is it's really about reducing competition. So I realized that there were some accounts that I liked, and I realized when I first started, I was just kind of copying those accounts. And if I'm doing that, the best I can ever be is a poor man's version of those accounts. And so if I lean into what makes me different, that's the only way I reduce competition. No one's going to be better at being Matt Kobach than Matt Kobach. And so if I can figure out how to harness that, then all of a sudden, I don't have to worry about competition. It doesn't matter what anyone else posts because I'm not competing with anyone else. It's only when you're trying to imitate someone else that you feel like you're in competition with them. And so it's really about eliminating competition by leaning into what makes you different, what makes you unique, or at least what makes you, what gets you excited on any given day.
And now you're at Fast, Director of Content Marketing. Do you feel you need a slightly different strategy to grow a brand account versus a personal account?
Yeah, there's certainly fundamentals that I've carried over, but it's almost like the difference between playing soccer, or football everywhere else in the world, and hockey. You know, it's like at the end of the day, hockey and soccer are very similar. You know, like obviously one's in a field, one's in a rink, but there's a goalie, there's forwards, you're trying to get something in a net. And so that's very much how it feels. So it's like, yes, I've got to adjust some techniques. And the biggest one being that everyone knows who the New York Stock Exchange is and no one knows a startup. And so that's really been the biggest difference. But in terms of like what resonates and what works and what people respond to and what gets them excited to share, those things seem to transcend industry and to transcend company size.
Have there been any surprises, anything that's worked best for you so far at Fast that maybe you didn't see coming? Anything that seems different in the current climate, in this year, in the world of social media at the moment?
There are two things that were wildly successful beyond anything I could have ever imagined. These weren't some well thought out campaigns that I ran that I didn't spend like weeks and weeks planning it and putting together the strategy. It was something that we had talked about that we said, this will probably be a good idea. Let's try it. One of those was drawing a Fastronaut helmet on people's profile pictures.
I've seen these.
Yeah. And it was kind of something I almost did on a whim. So I had drawn. So if you know me on Twitter, I have an MS Paint avatar and I update it from time to time. And at Fast, internally, we call employees Fastronauts. And so I had drawn the space helmet on my own avatar, put it on there and changed my profile picture for a few weeks. I had an idea one day to add anyone who replied, I would draw a helmet on their profile picture and they would become an official Fastronaut. So the idea being that like we would build this community, we'd get some people that are excited to use it, use a product and talk about us and tell their friends. And we had to give them something in return too. Like you have to, it couldn't just be like reply for the sake of replying. Like I had to entice them with drawing on their profile picture. People like this, like you give, it's kind of, and this is really an idea stolen from Twitter. I want to say Twitter's, I don't know who did it first. So maybe it was the @Twitter handle, but it's, it's the stuff that's like reply here and we'll give you a spooky Halloween name. It's that same idea. People want to know, what name are you going to give me? They want to know, what am I going to look like in a helmet? And I think it was like retweeted and I'll add a helmet. I had 1,000 retweets and I was doing these by hand. Granted, I had like a file where it was like kind of drawn, but I had to like edit it. So even at the quickest, it took me a little over a minute to do one. And so to do thousands of these, because we did it 2 or 3 times, to do thousands of them was, it took some time, but like we had this army of advocates then all of a sudden, just because we had taken, I think I did it like 2 afternoons, had done it. And it was something, the prize that they got, the having a astronaut helmet on their head, was good enough for them to feel invested in the company. So the key is like, what's that carrot that I can dangle that is enough for you to, one, retweet it, and then two, share that this picture, be proud of it, change it to your profile picture, tell other people about it. So, you know, it's a little bit of like, yeah, that was a good idea to do, but a little bit of dumb luck because I had no idea it would be that big. And then another similar one is the hoodies. We have given away hoodies. We've sold them for cheap, or we just sell them for, you know, at cost. And it's become this thing now where people post them on Twitter. It becomes like this cool badge to have a fast hoodie that people are so proud of it that they can't wait to go on Twitter or Instagram and share with the world that, yeah, my fast hoodie just came in and I'm proudly wearing it.
As you said, you couldn't have necessarily planned for the popularity of the astronaut helmet. And maybe you would have thought about it a bit differently if you'd realized how many you'd be doing, but still, it's really grabbed people's attention. And you mentioned that you'd stolen that from Twitter, or you found something similar and this was your take on it. I was going to ask, when it comes to content planning, where do you find inspiration? Do you keep a swipe file or a document or notes filled with interesting ideas and links that you'd like to turn into tweets? Something like that?
You kind of have to always be looking. You know, it's not like you can just go, all right, so from 10 a.m. until noon today, I'm going to go try to find some interesting ideas. It's more like you've got to be living and breathing social media. So whether it's on TikTok or Instagram or Twitter or whatever it might be, you've always got to have your eye out for, that's an interesting idea. Can I steal it? I mean, that's legitimately kind of how I think. And I think that's how all marketers think. And I don't mean steal it verbatim. Yeah, obviously, that's not going to work. But it's more like, how do I take this concept that seems like a really good concept and apply it to my own brand? And when you're able to do that, you're always have to be kind of paying attention and on. I have the notes section of my iPhone is full of ideas like that. I've got tons of screenshots. And then sometimes I'll even see a great idea or a great video that someone did, and I'll go contact them. And I'll say, hey, I love this video. Let's make one with Fast. Are you game? Do you want to do it? And so I've been able to work with content creators that way. Like if I realize that like what they do is so signature to them that it wouldn't make sense for me to recreate, I'll just go and work with them directly. So it's this process that literally never ends, that you're constantly looking for new inspiration, and you never know when you're going to see a great video or a great post.
Do you find yourself saving these things and then you set aside some time to sit and work back through them? And is there sort of like a second process to editing or reviewing the things that you're picking up as you go?
Yeah, the only second process I have is, all right, have I, you know, because I'm big on this consistently posting thing. All right, have I posted today? Or have I posted recently? Do I have an idea ready? If I don't, then I've got this like great reservoir of ideas that I can just go look at any point and create something. I even have some ideas that are fully fleshed out that I literally just need to hit send on. So really, it's just about making sure that we're that consistent presence that people get used to seeing our name all the time. Because ideally, you know, the goal is that they see us on social media, and then when they see us out in the wild for the first time, they trust us, they're familiar with us, and they're excited to use this fast checkout button.
Especially they've got a hoodie.
Especially they've got a hoodie, yeah.
I wanted to ask, are there any growth tactics that you've been using aside from creating and sharing content? Is there anything else that you're doing to build this community or in terms of for Fast?
Yeah, I do have one that's hard to replicate. So it's going to be unfortunate if someone's listening to this and says, I want to do that, because it's going to be hard. But one thing that I've kind of been pushing for a long time, I've thought this for several years, is I do not understand why more companies don't either hire or build their own kind of mini influencers, you know, almost like a spokesperson. So when I was at NYSE, I was very active on our Snapchat. And I would interview CEOs and celebrities and show what was going on the floor. And in New York, I could be outside the New York Stock Exchange because you have tourists come. And they would go, that's the NYSE Snapchat guy.
Wow.
And so I would get recognized as that. They didn't know my name, but they knew me as the NYSE Snapchat guy. And I don't understand why more brands don't do that and leverage personalities of people like that. And so one thing that we've done at Fast is I have a large Twitter following. Our two co-founders are very active on social media, and so are a lot of employees. So what we do is we leverage our employees. If you look at my Twitter account right now, I'm wearing a Fast hoodie on there. So every tweet of mine is this little mini ad for Fast. And I have interviews with our CEO on our Instagram where we talk about how he's building the company. So we're really using our internal employees as these kind of mini influencers. And we do it in a way that they're not ads. We're not saying, oh, use Fast Checkout, install Fast Checkout. We're adding value by either giving business advice or, you know, I kind of break down some of our marketing strategies. But it gives us significantly more reach because inherently people are more interesting than brands or businesses on social media. So we figure let's, instead of saying, no, we can't have brand advocates, let's make everyone who wants to be an advocate on our team one. And let's kind of blur the lines of like what's an ad and who's a person and what's a brand and just kind of have it all work together.
Yeah.
This is usually out of the scope of a social media manager to convince the company that brand advocates are fine and that you should let people talk and say nice things about the company. But it's a nice thing with a startup and a small company and that we're all aligned that this is a unique, different way to build a brand on social media.
Thank you so much for joining us, Matthew. We've had a great conversation and I really appreciate all your value and your insights. It's been quite a journey that you've been on. And yeah, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you. I will sit and talk social media at any point. I love it. Thank you so much.
Thanks so much to Matthew for joining us on this episode. I love that conversation. His passion for social media marketing and his energy was just super inspiring. Now, looking back at my notes, there were a few things that stood out. Some of the tried and true strategies that we've been talking about forever, it feels like, are still relevant today. Things like being consistent and posting on a regular schedule and also developing or discovering your own voice. But then Matthew took this a step further and I really loved his point about reducing competition and just being the best version of your own brand because no one else can copy that. Matthew's point about making content entertaining and engaging was super important. And his constant quest to find the next carrot to dangle in front of his audience so that people want to come back and just see what happens next. So when it comes to building an audience on Twitter in 2020 and beyond, content is still the number one thing you should focus on. But there are also opportunities to experiment and do new things. Like for Fast, it was their Fastnaut helmets that really helped them to break through. Thanks again to Matthew for joining us today, and thank you for listening.